Hear the word of God, proclaimed in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. You will find that on page 793 of the Pew Bible. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is from St. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and you will find that on page 1065. That's 1065. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and to him be glory and praise. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, let this sermon, in the listening and in the preaching, be an offering to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to tell you a story about Paul. He lived in a small town in America near Seattle. He was a wee boy, and his family became the proud owners of one of the first telephones in the small town where they lived. A wooden box attached to the wall, a shiny plastic receiver hanging on the side, and a mouthpiece attached to the front. And he was fascinated when his mother and father used it. And he discovered that somewhere inside this box, this wonderful device called a telephone, lived an amazing person. Her name was Information Please. And there was nothing she did not know. Information Please could supply anybody's number and the correct time. And Paul's first personal experience of Information Please came one day when he was home alone and he banged his finger with a hammer. The pain was awful and he did not know what to do. And he thought of the telephone. He unhooked the receiver, held it to his ear, and said, "Information, please." There was a click or two. And then a clear voice spoke, "Information." "I hurt my finger," said Paul. "Isn't your mother home?" "Nobody is home but me," he moaned. "Are you bleeding?" "No," he said. "I hit my finger with a hammer and it hurts." "Can you open the ice box?" "Yes," he said. "Then get some ice and put it on your finger." And Paul did it. And it helped a lot. And after that, Paul contacted and called Information Please for everything. She helped him with his geography and his maths. And she taught him how to spell the word fix. And when his pet canary died, she listened to his grief and then said, "Paul, always remember that there are other worlds to sing in." And that helped. And Paul felt better. When Paul was 9 years of age, his family moved near Boston, 3,000 miles away. And as the years passed, he missed Information Please. And some years later, Paul was on his way to college. His plane landed in Seattle. He dialed his hometown number and he said, "Information, please." And he heard the same clear voice he knew so well. "Information." He had not planned this, but on impulse he asked, "Could you please tell me how to spell the word fix?" There was a long pause and then came the soft answer, "I guess your finger must be healed by now." And Paul laughed and he said, "So it really is you. Do you know how much you meant to me during the time I was a little boy?" "I wonder," she said, "if you knew how much your calls meant to me. I never had any children and I used to look forward to your calls so much." And Paul told her how much he missed her. And could he call her again if ever he was back? And a few months later he was. And he dialed and said, "Information, please." And this time, a different voice answered. Paul asked for Sally, as she had said he should. "Are you a friend?" the operator asked. "A very old friend," he said. "Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you this," she said, "but Sally had been working part-time these past few months and she died 5 weeks ago." But before he could hang up, the operator said, "Wait a minute, did you say your name was Paul?" "Yes, well, Sally left a message for you. She wrote it down in case you called. Let me read it to you. It says, when Paul calls, tell him that I still say, there are other worlds to sing in. He will know what I mean." And Paul knew and thanked her. There are other worlds to sing in. It's a beautiful and powerful thought. It is precisely what St. John chapter 3 is about. There are other worlds to sing in. In this life and beyond this life. When Jesus said to Nicodemus that night, "You must be born again," the Greek means you must be born from above. That is what he meant. You do not have to stay the same way as you are. You can make a new start. You can have a new life. You can become a new person. There are other worlds to sing in for you. Remember the story. Nicodemus was a leader among the Jews, probably from a wealthy and highly respected family. A Pharisee, a member of the Supreme Council of the Jews, committed to keeping the scribal law to the nth degree. Nicodemus came to Jesus, we read, by night. It's amazing that he came at all. His Pharisee friends were suspicious of Jesus. They'd labeled him a threat, and they were looking for an opportunity to get rid of him. But Nicodemus came to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, you must be a teacher, come from God, because no one could do what you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus replied, "You cannot see the kingdom of God without being born again. You must be born from above." What does that mean? It means being a Christian involves a change of outlook on life, a radical rebirth, a rebirth from God. And Nicodemus did not get that. Some years ago, the boxing legend Muhammad Ali was asked by a young man living in the ghettos of New York how he could stop school and start a boxing career because his grades were so low. And Ali smiled and said in his poetic fashion, "Stay in college and get the knowledge and stay there till you're through. Because if God can make penicillin out of moldy bread, he can make something out of you." That's the same message as St. John chapter 3. God comes in Jesus to make something out of us. When Jesus is the focal point of our lives, he adds a new quality to life, now and forever. That is what being born again, the old cliche we've heard so often, what being born from above really means. Let me then be more specific and describe this new birth with three brief thoughts. First of all, to be born from above means to come alive to Jesus. The writer Charles Swindoll, in his book Stress Fractures, tells of a time when he had just too many things to do, too many commitments in too short a period of time. He writes, "I was snapping at my children, choking down my food, and feeling irritated at unexpected interruptions throughout the day. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our daughter Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her in school that day. She began in a hurry, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you real fast.' And suddenly, realizing her frustration, I answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me real fast. Say it slowly.' And then he writes, "I'll never forget her answer. 'Then, Daddy, listen slowly.'" If there is a new world to sing in, then we must listen slowly to what Jesus is saying to our spirits. We cannot hear God in a hurry. There's a story about Franklin Roosevelt, who faced long receiving lines in the White House, endlessly shaking hands and smiling. He complained that no one really listened to what he said. And one day, during a reception, he tried an experiment. To each person who passed down the line, he shook his hand and murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work! We are proud of you! God bless you, sir!" He said it wasn't until the end of the line when the ambassador to Bolivia came along the line, and he obviously actually heard the words, and without batting an eyelid, the ambassador leaned over and whispered to him, "I'm sure she had it coming." To Jesus, we listen slowly, and we listen carefully, and the miracle happens in our lives. We come alive to Jesus, and our lives are renewed, and that can happen any time of our lives. So first of all, to be born from above means to come alive to Jesus. And second, to be born from above means to come alive to love. A wee girl went to the doctor for a checkup. When the doctor came in to the examination room, she held up both her hands to get his attention, and then she said, "Doctor, I know what you're going to do. You're going to do 5 things. You're going to check my eyes, my ears, my nose, my throat, and my heart." The doctor smiled and said, "Well, Sarah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Is there any particular order I should do it?" And Sarah said, "You can go in any order you like, but if I were you, I'd start with the heart." That's exactly what Jesus did, wasn't it? He started with the heart. He started with love. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. Nicodemus and his Pharisee friends didn't get that. They had a hard time with it, because they had been taught all their lives to start with laws and rules and regulations and restrictions. For example, if a man fell into a hole on the Sabbath day and was screaming for help, the Pharisee would say, "What does the law say about this?" "Well, the law says you cannot work on the Sabbath. So sorry, we can't help you. Maybe somebody will come along tomorrow. We cannot break the scribal law." On the other hand, Jesus would start with the heart and would say to the man in the hole, "Give me your hand. I'll pull you out." That night, long ago in Jerusalem, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, "Give me your hand, Nicodemus, and I'll pull you out." And Jesus is saying it to you and me today. You do not have to stay the way you are. You do not have to be a prisoner where you are with your particular problems. Give me your hand. I can pull you out of that. There are other worlds to sing in. I wonder if you've heard of the ancient legend of the monk who found a precious stone. And not long after, he met a traveler who was hungry and who asked him for food. And when the monk opened his bag, the traveler saw the precious stone and on impulse asked the monk for it. And the monk gave him the precious stone, and the traveler left amazed. And a few days later he came back and he asked the monk, "Please give me something more valuable than the precious stone. Please give me what made you able to give it to me in the first place." When we are given that unique quality of Jesus' love, it should shine from our lives to be freely shared with other people. So first of all, when we are born from above, it means to come alive to Jesus. It means to come alive to love. And third, it means to come alive to a new quality of life. Being a Christian means moving into a new dimension of living. Bishop Brent wrote these words, which I think make the point very clearly. What is dying? A ship sails and I stand watching till she fades on the horizon, and someone at my side says, she's gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large as when I saw her. The diminished size and total loss of sight is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says, she's gone, there are others watching her coming. And other voices take up the glad shout, here she comes. For Christian people, death is not fatal, because there are other worlds to sing in. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love he brought, the love he shared, and the love he inspires in each one of us. As we walk from church this day, may we be aware of his presence throughout the days of the week that lie ahead. And may we be encouraged by his presence to be your kind of people and to share your love with others. We ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.